The Origins of Greek Mythology. Bear up, my child, bear up. Zeus, who oversees and directs all things, is still mighty in heaven. Sophocles. Unlike many of the most famous gods among the pantheons of Europe, it is easy to examine the legends about Zeus through surviving historical texts, because the Greeks were quite literate and left a wide selection of literature, and naturally their ruling god appears quite often in it. As a result, children across the world learn plenty about him over 1500 years after he was last worshipped. For the classical Greeks themselves, some of the earliest and most important sources are the Homeric epics, the Odyssey and the Iliad, and Hesiod's Theogony. These three works are the oldest surviving works in the Greek language and form a central basis for Western literature in general. Perhaps not surprisingly, these works appear to have been codifications and standardizations of much more varied oral traditions. Hesiod's Theogony is a synthesis in poem form that explains the origins of the gods and the genealogical relationships with each other, while the more famous works of Homer tell the tale of the war between the Greeks and the Trojans, in which the larger-than-life participants were often pawns of the gods. At the same time, these works follow a division that is commonly found throughout early religious literature, mythic and heroic genres. The Theogony is an example of the mythic, dealing with the creation of the world and humanity, the origins of gods, their relationships to one another, and in some cases, their fates. These are among some of the earliest lines in Hesiod's poems. From the Heliconian muses let us begin to sing, who hold the great and holy mount of Helicon, and dance on soft feet about the deep blue spring and the altar of the almighty son of Cronos, and when they have washed their tender bodies in Permessus, or in the horse's spring or Olmaeus, make their fair, lovely dances upon highest Helicon, and move with vigorous feet. Thence they arise and go abroad by night, veiled in thick mist, and utter their song with lovely voice, praising Zeus the Aegis Holder, and queenly Hera of Argos, who walks on golden sandals, and the daughter of Zeus the Aegis Holder, bright-eyed Athena, and Phoebus Apollo, and Artemis who delights in arrows, and Poseidon the Earth Holder who shakes the earth, and revered Themis, and quick-glancing Aphrodite, and Hebe with the crown of gold, and fair Dione, Leto, Iapetus, and Cronos, the crafty counsellor Eos, and great Helios, and bright Selene, Earth too, and great Oceanus and Dark Night, and the holy race of all the other deathless ones that are forever. And one day they taught Hesiod glorious song while he was shepherding his lambs under holy Helicon. Come you, let us begin with the muses who gladden the great spirit of their father Zeus in Olympus with their songs, telling of things that are and that shall be, and that were aforetime with consenting voice. Unwearying flows the sweet sound from their lips, and the house of their father Zeus, the loud thunderer, is glad at the lily-like voice of the goddesses as it spreads abroad, and the peaks of snowy Olympus resound, and the homes of the immortals. And they, uttering their immortal voice, celebrate in song first of all the revered race of the gods from the beginning, those whom earth and wide heaven begot, and the gods sprung of these, givers of good things. Then next, the goddesses sing of Zeus, the father of gods and men, as they begin and end their strain, how much he is the most excellent among the gods and supreme in power. And again, they chant the race of men and strong giants, and gladden the heart of Zeus within Olympus, the Olympian muses, daughters of Zeus the Aegis Holder. The Homeric epics, on the other hand, are heroic in nature, and deal primarily with the events of human heroes. While these heroes may have incredible superhuman powers, ultimately they are mortals, not gods. However, the gods play a key role in this genre as well. They may direct events behind the scenes, and the heroes are often their champions. There are other examples of this division in other European contexts. The Welsh Mabinogion is explicitly divided into heroic and mythic sections, as is the Norse Elder Edda. The plot of the Iliad is laid out by some sort of prophecy, which the gods ensure happens according to fate's plans. The Greek concept of fate is a bit ambiguous, as it is not clear if it is the gods who decide the fates of mortals, or if they answer to the fates and merely carry out their designs. But the main evidence supporting the latter is Zeus's golden scale, on which he weighs the fates of the two opposing sides. Going with this theory, it seems that the fates decide the end result of an outcome, while the gods are responsible for how the fated ones in question arrive at this outcome. For example, the plague that sets off the domino effect of Achilles withdrawing from battle and then